You're listening to Business Forward Podcast. I am Ghayda Nadi, your host for this episode. Today, we are in the Think Climate section of Business Forward with our guest, environmental economist Abir Shenawi, professor of economics at the AUC School of Business. Shenawi has extensive research in the areas of the environment, international trade, private sector growth, and development. In this episode, she speaks to us about the adverse effects of climate change on the economy based on the research paper titled Climate Change and Economic Growth that she had co-authored with researchers from the International Food Policy Research Institute and the Institute of Development Studies at the University of Sussex. In simple terms, what did this specific study look into and how was it designed?
The methodology used in this paper is an intertemporal general equilibrium model. Basically, we look at all agents in the economy, consumers and producers, and we want to see the impact of a climate shock on these agents, how will firms respond to it, how will consumers respond to it, so that we get a feel of how the economy will be affected. If it's faced with a climate shock, basically an increase in temperature.
Okay.
And what's really new about this study is the use of intertemporal general equilibrium models. It was never used before to study the effect of temperature.
Mm-hmm. So what did this imply in the way you collected the data? Who was involved in the study?
Well, the data for the used in the model is called Social Accounting Matrix, and it's basically published by the Central Agency for Public Mobilization and Statistics. What's nice about these models is that they just need a data set over one period. And then we use this data to, use this data to calibrate the model, and we use it to project what might happen if Egypt is faced with a climate shock, a rise in temperature.
Very interesting. So I saw that you constructed several scenarios and when it comes to climate impact. And in the worst one, if no action is taken, the aggregate GDP dropped by 6.5%, which is huge. I mean, We're trying barely to keep in the 3-5% economic growth rate. So this is a big, significant drop. So what other policy relevant conclusions of the study, and if you can elaborate on the point of the worst case scenario and the other scenarios?
Well, we just show that if the temperature in Egypt rises, then GDP will be significantly affected. And this points to the importance of looking at how are we going to deal with these problems in the future. And this is where adaptation comes in. So we show that adaptation is very important in the case of Egypt. And what we showed is that GDP will fall because agriculture will be affected, because, of course, as temperature increases, you will get less yields, crop yields in agriculture. And if temperature increases, we get sea level rise, which will destroy infrastructure and capital stock and so on. So these are basically very important issues that the government must start thinking about how they are going to adapt to these shocks and effects.
Right. And in the study, you also you looked at different adaptation scenarios as well. Could you walk us through some of those?
Yes. The first adaptation scenario is adapting to lower yields in agriculture, which is basically by employing better technology in agriculture and crop varieties that are resistant to heat.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, what we showed is how important is technology in the agricultural sector, because technology permits you to get more output with the same inputs.
Right.
Okay, and what's happening in the agricultural sector is that you're getting lower yields. So how can you fix this problem? By employing better technology so that you get around the fall in yields. sea level rise is by protecting your shores against sea level rise, which is something that the government has announced it's going to undertake. The third thing that will affect the Egyptian economy is declining productivity, labor productivity, because of heat stress.
Right.
And the only way to deal with this problem is through cooling. But cooling will impose additional costs on businessmen. So this must be taken into consideration. We showed that cooling is not going to come that smoothly. It has costs, and not every business owner will be able to adapt like this. If it's an informal firm that is working with primitive technology and earning modest profits, it's not going to be able to adapt based on cooling.
Right. Even when we talk about cooling and the way construction is made, some new trends in construction actually take into consideration buildings that are more cool, that allow circulation of air.
Yes,
and so
material
on.
That allows less heat and so on.
Right. Mm. But all of this comes with a cost, as you said, even in like protecting yourself against higher sea levels.
In the situation we are in, grappling with economic challenges and struggling to make ends meet, whether as governments or as firms, how can climate action, whether mitigation or adaptation, be promoted?
One way to mitigate climate change is to impose a carbon tax, which is the topic of a paper that I've already worked on, and it's now in the pipeline to be published. And the nice thing about carbon taxes is that not only they reduce carbon emissions, but they also raise revenue, substantial revenue that the government can use to implement adaptation measures.
Great, yes.
So these are kind of green taxes that have double dividend, in the sense that they reduce carbon emissions and at the same time raise revenue for the government.
And speaking along those lines, what do you think of carbon credits?
Actually, I'm working also on a project on carbon credit, and we want to see what are the obstacles facing the implementation of this policy in Egypt. So we're still in the beginning, yeah.
Right.
But it has been implemented in many other places.
That is a big question, really. How can domestic investment in climate mitigation be driven? You mentioned carbon taxes and carbon credits. What about environmental and social governance, ESG? And we know that this is an increasingly important parameter globally, affecting the ability of a firm to obtain finance. How do you see this direction reflecting in Egypt?
This depends very much on a well-educated consumer, because a well-educated consumer will appreciate the products of a firm that's taking into account its effects, its impact on the environment.
So it's kind of consumer push.
Yes.
Consumers
and governments and employees in the firm itself.
Mm-hmm.
Employees, if they are skilled employees and well educated, they are likely to push for such behavior
on the part of the firm.
Yes.
Right. Okay. And my almost final question is that the study was focused mainly on the agricultural sector because it is the sector that's most largely affected by
climate. But industry also, as heat stress affects labor productivity in industry.
Okay. So, I mean, this kind of methodology can be used to measure the cost of inaction across many sectors?
Yes.
So
the industrial sector.
The industrial sector, the industrial and agricultural sector.
It is great to be able to continuously generate evidence from studies like these to project and prepare for the likely effects of one of the biggest global concerns, climate change. What other research gaps still exist to better understand and advise and hopefully influence policy regarding climate action?
Research related to green energy.
Mm-hmm.
We need a lot of research on what promotes
the use or the production?
Both.
Okay.
Both. Mm-hmm. The use and the production of green energy, because this is how you can stop relying on fossil fuel.
Right.
So this is really the burning
question.
The
burning question. Yeah.
In this podcast was Abir Shinnawi, professor of economics at the AUC School of Business, speaking to us about what Egypt-specific research is telling us about climate action priorities and how that potentially affects economic growth. Subscribe to our bi-weekly newsletter at businessforwardauc.com to stay tuned for more podcasts by Business Forward, the knowledge portal of the AUC School of Business.